Fuck you, whale, and a fuck you, dolphin.
You son of a monkey. Welcome to episode 38.
Part 2.
Of our E3 conference.
Oh, yeah.
Started out Nintendo World Championship. The thing that actually started the entire E3 experience.
I have a lot of beef with this tournament.
Really?
Yeah.
But it's the first Nintendo World Championship since, like...
1996?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Forever ago.
I don't know how long... I don't know what the exact year was.
Pretty long time.
My first beef with it was, not... You know, there was a... They were, what would you call those, the place at Best Buy, they were like a little elimination rounds, kind of?
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know how people qualify for this.
Whatever. You go to Best Buy and you play video games, and if you get top scores, you go on to...
The World Championship?
Yeah, the World Championship. All
right.
But when people got there, they had like these special guests, like YouTube famous people, like Aaron from Game Grumps.
Egoraptor.
No.
Egoraptor.
Oh, well, he's Egoraptor. Yeah, but he doesn't do that anymore.
He does it.
Does he still do that? I thought he was like only like Game Grumps now. I haven't seen anything new from him. From
he does like once every 2 years. So oh, post something new.
Yeah. It was also, you know, the Mexican runner was in it too. Who else was there? I don't know. It doesn't matter. But all these like, you know, all these like YouTube celebrities were there, part of the tournament. Just because they're famous, they get to be part of the tournament? Why isn't it just people...
No, not just because they're famous and they love Nintendo.
That doesn't matter, dude. That's not how a tournament goes. You don't do that. No. You let the people who actually struggle to get there play the game.
They got the buys.
So stupid. So that's my first grief with that. Okay, so they started out with...
Splatoon. 4v4.
And you said they graded them on individual... No, not that one.
Not right? that one.
Yeah, not that one.
That was the only one they didn't do.
That's another thing that I didn't like, because they pit 4 against 4, right? But, you know, it's random, right? It doesn't really tell you who's better at the video game than the other people, because you could be the best Splatoon player, but you got a crappy team with you. You got 3 people that are crap, and then you're the best one. And because your team is crap, you lose the tournament.
Yep.
You know, that's not fair. That's not fair to me. That's not the way a tournament should go. You know what I mean? Unless you picked your own team, that's fine. Whatever. But not if Nintendo picked the team for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So...
So after like, Splatoon...
Yeah.
After each thing, they do an elimination thing. So you can stay in it. It's, you know, elimination, right? You can stay in it and try to get back into the game.
Basically, you go into a loser's bracket.
Yeah.
And only one person out of that... There's a loser bracket for every round. And only one person out of...
All three. Only one person out of all 3 rounds gets back into the game.
So, the second game they played, which was in the loser's bracket.
Yeah.
For the first round, was...
The Legend of Zelda.
Legend of Zelda. First one to beat the first dungeon. That was awesome, right? That shows skill right there, dude. Yeah. First one to beat the dungeon. The first dungeon.
Come on. It actually was a lot more exciting than I thought it was going to be, because people will get really close and then they die. Like,
yeah, there's one guy that actually got to the boss and died at the boss. And I was like, oh my god, dude, that guy had it.
And he
lost it.
Everybody was focusing on like 2 players, and then this other guy nobody was even talking about just ended up like sneaking in and taking it. Because people were all like, hey, and like, I'm like, oh my god, he died, blah, blah, blah. Oh my god, he's getting so close. He beat the boss. Wait, what? Like, he just, like, got everybody by surprise.
And some people were spending too much time killing enemies.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Some people were getting keys
and
for open
doors.
And not
even in the dungeon, like, outside of the dungeon. They were spending time killing enemies outside of the dungeon. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. It was weird. I don't think people were confused. Didn't know what was going on.
So that was that. That was a loser's round. The one person advanced. Then it was a new game, right? World premiere. Blast Ball. It's basically like a soccer game with lasers.
Yeah, it's robot soccer.
There's a big ball.
First person shooter. You shoot
it with lasers.
If you block the ball, you take damage. So
don't hit the ball with your face.
Yeah.
But shoot it with the lasers, though, and try to make it into the goal.
This is a 3DS game, and this is the world premiere, the first time they showed anybody playing this. As you remember from our last podcast, would later be known as Metroid Blast Ball.
Yeah. So this is another game that kind of the same deal as the...
Splatoon.
As the Splatoon, where...
It's 3v3.
It just seems like a little unfair for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not fair for everybody to be doing this.
It's fair in the sense that it's nobody's had a chance to play it. So these are all.
You know what? Yeah.
These are all fresh people, but they're still in teams.
I guess that makes it a little more fair because nobody's played it yet.
Yeah.
But so after that, the losers round was Super Metroid, first one to beat Mother Brain and leave the planet.
Yeah. And
that one was pretty cool because it was cool. It's Metroid, Super Metroid.
And if you died, I believe you're just out.
If you die, you can't die.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there was only two people that actually survived that. Lived through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because the other people died. But there's one guy, they kept pressing the home button or something.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just like on Super Metroid. It goes, I think they did that during.
Yeah, they did it during, I don't know, one it was of the something other ones.
Else. Yeah. But they kept pressing like home buttons and stuff like that. Like nobody was familiar with the Wii gamepad.
Yeah, because all these are virtual console or native.
It was so weird. I don't get it, man. But whatever. So that was that. That was the, you know, the first one out. So after that,
Mario Kart 8
as
the next round, and that was whoever had the highest point totals were the people that made that moved on.
Yeah, they did a full race with the computer.
Computer bots, which
and so you know that game's a little, you know, RNG,
yeah,
heavy, so it's just it doesn't show too much skill because you can get some really cool items in that.
I mean, that's why it was important to do the points in that respect, because at least just because like five bots beat you the like first place doesn't mean you were necessarily out of the competition.
Yeah,
they had a couple rounds of it. And then they took the totals from all those rounds, and that was your point score.
So, loser's round for that was Balloon Fight. Old, like, NES game.
Yep.
Where you're just in a balloon trying to fly through everything.
Yeah, they did a specific mode in Balloon Fight called Balloon Trip. And, you're flying through the starry night sky, stars will pop your balloon. All you had to do was get the highest score, and you could restart as many times as you wanted.
If you died, you start over again, but you keep your highest score. No matter what it is.
Yeah, this is where Ego Raptor was eliminated, finally.
So, after that, they showed some a Super Mario Super Mario Brothers Brawl.
Smash Bros. Wii U.
Smash Brothers. Super Smash Brothers. Damn it.
Why are you saying Super Smash Brothers?
Huh?
It's just Smash Brothers Wii U.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm saying Super Smash Brothers. Whatever, Smash Brothers Wii U. They had a little clip of Reggie against Hungrybox from last year, where Reggie told Hungrybox that he would kick his ass in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
So they finally did it. They went and Reggie picked Ryu.
Yeah.
And Hungrybox picked his favorite
Jigglypuff.
Jigglypuff, that's her name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jigglypuff. Well, I think it goes without saying that Reggie lost really bad.
But to his credit, he did take one of the Hungrybox's lives.
After he died like 20 times. Yeah,
it wasn't stock, it was point, and there were items. Like they do. Like Nintendo always does with their tournaments.
Reggie sucks.
Yeah, he did not do good. I don't know why he picked Ryu. I guess he had to show off the new character, but it's an odd one.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't know how to play the game.
So then the players got their chance at it, and they were really good.
This is where the person that was in the elimination bracket finally got to come back in, and that was Cosmo, went from loser bracket back into the semifinals, basically.
Yeah. And so after that,
we had four people in this tournament: Cosmo, Mad Mage, Johnny Numbers, and Trihex.
And Trihex is actual Smash Brothers player.
And so is Johnny Numbers. Yeah,
Trihex got taken out. He's a pretty good player. But
Johnny Numbers just made them all look like fools.
Yeah, dude. Well, that guy was like on something, man.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, they went on to the finals.
Again, this was Cosmo and Johnny Numbers made it to the finals because it was a point system again because they did the not sock, but just how many kills you
get. Deaths versus kills versus suicides.
Yeah.
They crunch a bunch of numbers together. So after that, the last two played Mario Maker. Super Mario Brothers Mario Maker? Or is it just called Mario Maker?
Super Mario Maker.
Super Mario Maker? That's what it's called?
Yeah.
So, that one was really interesting. I really enjoyed that, actually.
Yeah, there was three levels created by the members of the Nintendo Treehouse, which is a thing that I don't know anything about.
It's like Nintendo Club. Man.
Okay. And the way it worked is that... No, there was four levels, right?
There was four total, but four three total. To start.
Yeah, three to start.
The first three levels, the person that got the farthest or that finished it the fastest would gain a 15-second head start
for the last.
Final one. So you can earn a total of 45 seconds head start for the last level.
And each person took turns individually. They'd blindfold whoever's turn it wasn't and like put earmuffs so they wouldn't know what was going to be in the level while the other person took their turn. And if nobody beat it, it was whoever got the farthest.
Yeah. So they, Johnny Numbers got the first one, beat the first one. Then Cosmo got the second one, and then Johnny Numbers got the third one.
So at the end of it, Johnny Numbers had a 15-second head start for the last round.
Which he didn't need at all, because he destroyed Cosmo in the last one. Cosmo could not...
get out of the first room. He couldn't do wall jumping.
He was just, and then Johnny Numbers was just like taking care of that level like nobody.
Yeah, he didn't even have a misstep in that one. It was ridiculous.
So awesome. That showed a lot of the power of the Mario Maker.
Yeah. I mean, they were some pretty well designed levels. Apparently, it took them like hours upon hours to make those levels. but I mean, it was fun to watch because it was just random and like it destroyed all the expectations that you normally get from Mario game. They just threw them out the window.
Yeah, like it's basically almost... like Impossible Mario.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as impossible.
And then for the prize, Johnny Numbers gets himself a nice little statue that's handed to him by Miyamoto.
Yeah, himself.
Shigeru Miyamoto comes out, and he gives them both. Hand signed right there on the stage. He signs both of these.
No, he signed... One was already signed.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
No, he signed them both.
Number two was already signed.
I saw him sign both of them.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember there only being... I remember him only signing one.
No, he signed both of them.
Okay, fine.
They both got new 3DS XLs. Signed by Miyamoto. Signed by Miyamoto. And they also announced that Earthbound's Beginnings was coming to the West, and that's Mother 1, for those of you that know as the Mother franchise. But it's only coming out on the Wii U. And it's not an upgrade or anything like that. It's a virtual console. It's a virtual console only on the Wii U. Even though they have a larger 3DS install base, so
they want people to buy the Wii
U. Wii U to play Mother. Yeah, yeah. I didn't like that. That didn't sit well with me. All right. Okay. Next up,
I want to do Bethesda last.
You want to do Bethesda last?
Yeah.
Then who do you want? Okay, you're throwing the order out. What do you want
to
do?
Okay, you do it. Dude.
What do you want to do?
No, you do it. You do it.
All right.
I'm going to drink some soda because I'm thirsty.
So Bethesda comes out.
Damn it!
What?
It's fine.
I'm so confused. What do you want?
Because I
want
to talk about that game, dude. And it's like, I think it's... I really want that game. I want it to be last, but it's fine. It's fine.
Okay. Because I thought we were doing it in order of how they happened. So Bethesda comes out, and the first game they show is none other than Jeff's magnum opus, Doom.
This game is so awesome. This game is super awesome. It's a lot more fast-paced.
It's a lot closer to the original Doom than what we've seen recently.
It gets crazier. There's melee kills now.
Yeah.
To where you can stun the enemy with some bullets. And then you go up to them and do, like, these melee kills and stuff. And some of them look really awesome.
Rip their jaw off.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so cool.
Yeah. Really gruesome kills.
There seems to be weapons with secondary fire. Mm-hmm. It seems like you can switch out.
You can jump and double jump.
He didn't double jump that much, did he?
Yeah, he had a little rocket booster thing. So, I mean, it wasn't like a huge... I don't remember him
doing it too much, but...
Yeah, you can do it.
So there's a lot of familiar faces, obviously.
Yeah, the imps are very fast in this version.
Yeah,
they just kind of stand there. They jump and dodge and all that good stuff.
The Mancubus, he doesn't shoot. I thought he shot rockets at first. No, they were fireballs. They were always fireballs.
Yeah,
Yeah, but he has a green glow, and his face is a little different. I think they changed his face a little bit. And what else? I didn't see any Hell Knights in it.
Yeah, I didn't see any Hell Knights either.
And I didn't see a Cyber Demon, which I really wanted to see. I wanted to see a Cyber Demon, but there wasn't. I didn't see a Cyber Demon in there.
Enemies drop health and ammo. That's how you stay alive. But it's just weird. The game is very arcadey. And that's what I meant by is like much closer to the original. Like, you subsist off of killing enemies, and pretty much you're not really looking around for health packs or armor packs or anything like that, because you're gonna get all that stuff off of the enemies you kill. Your entire purpose in that game is just to kill things.
Oh, that's right. Doom didn't do that.
No,
it's kind of different.
Yeah.
It's
not a scary game.
No.
From what they've shown,
it doesn't seem to do the little
jump scares or room yeah
people. When it comes, it's gonna have PvP in it. There's different modes of PvP, and there's also a lot of customization when it comes to creating your own. Like they have a set room, right? And you can move stuff around, make walls, make everything, make enemies appear, stuff like that for different modes of PvP.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting. It seems like everybody's going that route. Everybody's going the whole like make your own stuff.
Yeah,
in my game.
This one's called Doom Snap Map. That's what they're calling it.
So I thought that was an interesting twist to it, and the cool thing about that is that the room's already made for you. Like, there's already like a map.
Yeah.
And you just move things around. You make the maze or whatever as it may. You know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can create your own corridors that connect to different rooms and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you can set up events for like if somebody picks this up, then it's going to make this demon appear, and all that kind of stuff.
Something I like about that is. Or not about that exactly, but when you switch out weapons, there's a little hub that you switch out to, and it has that one of those circles.
Radio.
Yeah. But when you do that, the enemies slow down
a lot.
That. Yeah.
Super slow.
It doesn't stop completely, but the enemies do slow down, so it kind of feels like it gives you a chance to check out what's happening around you for a little bit. You know what I mean? Just kind of like if you suddenly see like an imp appear in front of you. Feels like you can just go into that and then just, you know, just kind of...
Take your breath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm very excited about Doom.
Are you buying it?
Yeah, I'm buying it. I hope it's for consoles, right?
Yeah, tell me all platforms. Consoles first. All major
platforms.
Because
they're always making it for PC first, man.
Yeah.
As long as it's not for PC first.
Okay. It's coming out spring 2016. PC, X1, and the PS4.
Okay.
Next up, they show.
Was it this?
Bethesda.net is their new service they're trying to push. They didn't explain it very well, but it's I guess a website and any piece of news you want that involves Bethesda, any of the games that their developers are making, you should be able to find it all at Bethesda.net. A lot of people are referencing it to kind of like Battle.net from Blizzard. They think it's going to be something like that. And, you know, I kind of like hub things like that, personally. It kind of helps me keep track of where all my stuff is. You know, some people don't like it because it's going to log in and stuff like that. So we'll see what it actually ends up being.
Everything's a login nowadays.
Yeah. After that, they showed Battlecry. If you want to sign up for the beta, BattlecryTheGame.com.
Oh, yeah, Battlecry didn't appeal to me.
It's like Team Fortress 2.
It just wasn't my thing, I guess.
It's not as goofy as Team Fortress 2, but it's like Team Fortress 2. That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
And after that, Dishonored 2.
The trailer looked really cool.
Yeah, the trailer did look really good.
There's no gameplay.
Nope. You could play as a female protagonist if you want, or the original protagonist. So it's two stories, it seems like.
The girl was looked really good. If you know what I'm saying.
I wasn't sure where you're going with that, because, I was like, I thought you were going to say she has some really cool-looking powers.
Yeah, she has some really cool-looking something.
All right. Moving on. Dishonored Definitive Edition is coming. It's an up-res for the Xbox One and the PS4. It includes all the DLCs coming out this fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next up, Elder Scrolls Online. They show two new areas that are coming out as free updates, I believe. The Fallen Imperial City and Orsinium, the Realm of the Orcs. I mean, they're nice looking if you're into that game. something to get excited for. Then he talked about Elder Scrolls Legends.
Gail really likes that one.
Yeah, she likes that one. It's, you know, it's pretty good from what I've seen. Then they showed Elder Scrolls Legends, which they didn't show anything. They just showed, like, a bunch of pictures
yeah.
with a voiceover.
That was so weird.
The pictures they showed looked like more of a Magic the Gathering kind of a vibe. But it's a card game, trading card game, or a strategy card game, as they called it. And it's going to be free to play. It's going to come out on PC and iPad, apparently, at least initially this year. So I'm assuming it's some type of mix between Magic and Hearthstone. So, I mean, if you're into those type of games, that's something that could be pretty exciting. It's supposed to have all the lore of Elder Scrolls in it. And, yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
And then the big one. You want to introduce, say what it is?
Fallout 4.
Fallout 4.
So, Fallout 4, it looks like a really cool game.
Coming out this year.
Yeah. So, okay, there's a lot of things that happened with Fallout 4. Okay.
Break it down.
They broke down the story, first of all. So basically this is, before the Fallout, you're in your house or whatever. You can customize your character any way you want. I guess there's thousands of combinations that you can do with facial features, skin color.
Yeah, all the characters everything. In the game were made using this tool that they give you to make your character look the way he looks.
So.
Or she looks.
So you have this character and then, and you have your wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a baby, and that baby's looks is going to be based on what you chose for him and her. So, you know, another cool feature, right?
Yeah, if you want to play as a female character, you exit the character customization as the wife. If you want to play as a guy, you exit as a husband.
So, yeah, he gets a knock on the door by this, like, insurance salesman type guy that, you know, sells, like, Fallout shelters.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a little robot dude. The robot dude is kind of cool. I like that guy.
Yeah.
And he helps him out with, like, chores and makes coffee or something. It's like a maid.
Yeah.
So so they see an explosion, right? And they go down into their Fallout shelter, apparently. Mm-hmm. Or you don't really see what happens, like, who makes it down or not. But he comes out 200 years later.
Yeah.
200 years later.
So presumably some type of cryogenic freezing happened or something.
And the robot's up there, and he's like, hey, you know, like, hey, too, welcome back. You're, like, 200 years old. And he's like, what?
Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, they go into showing a lot of the game.
They show
Dog Meat, and you can tell Dog Meat to go get you things, and he'll go get you things.
Yeah, he'll point anywhere, he'll go grab it, he'll grab a wrench, he'll sit, and whenever you tell him to sit. Just, it's really cool. It's a really cool feature.
The choice system, the dialogue choices, is not like 1, 2, 3, 4. It's like, press A... Or triangle, square, circle, X, or whatever it is on the Xbox.
Kind of like a Mass Effect.
Yeah, like Mass. Yeah. Not even like Mass Effect, because it had the little wheel. More like a Telltale, like a Walking Dead game.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what else did they do? They did the. So they also showed an Android game.
Right. What was Fallout Shelter.
Fallout Shelter, right?
Out already for iPhones.
Yeah, it was out the same day. They announced it the same day.
For iOS, but not for Android yet.
Oh, so for iOS? Oh,
it's a timed exclusive. They didn't call it that, but it is. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, you basically control like all these characters in the shelter, make sure everybody's doing their jobs, and you know,
send them out to raid.
It's kind of like a Sims.
It's like
type of game.
I would say
crossed
it's like
with
XCOM.
I don't know, XCOM.
Yeah, it's like, I would say it's like Sim Tower crossed with XCOM. Because you're building up this base and you want to make your guys stronger and give them armor and stuff like that. Because your base will get attacked by raiders. And you need to send them out to collect materials, so you want to send them out with good stuff. And you can increase their stats and stuff like that, and your characters will die, and they can have babies to help increase the population of your vault. And if you tell it to build something, it builds it immediately. If there's no energy system that you have to like make sure you have enough energy to keep doing things, it's you can play that game 100% free for as long as you want, without having to stop and check it like in an hour because that's when you can start doing something again. No, you can just keep playing that game indefinitely. There's things you can buy if you want to buy like more gear and stuff like that, but you don't have to.
There's always microtransactions in these games.
Mm-hmm.
That watch. Can I call it a watch? What is that?
No, it's more of a bracelet.
It's more than a bracelet. It's beyond a bracelet.
So this is a collector's edition of Fallout 4.
This thing is so cool.
And in the collector's edition, you get a Pip-Boy that you can put on your wrist.
Oh, that's right. Pip-Boy. Yeah. That's what it's called.
And this is a real physical Pip-Boy. It's the size. It's clunky, just like the Pip-Boy.
Just like in the game.
And you can take your smartphone and put it in the Pip-Boy because they have an app, a second screen app, that'll work with your game. That'll be your Pip-Boy menu, so you never have to pause the game to do all your Pip-Boy stuff. And it'll just be on your wrist. I mean,
it's gigantic.
Yeah. You don't need the Pip-Boy to make the app work, but it's just cooler if you have it.
This thing was really awesome. It looks just like the game. Yeah. It looks just like it.
It's really cool.
And this is what made Dan want to buy
the collector's edition. Yeah, I want the collector's edition for that.
Just for that.
It's just kind of nifty too. If you just want to carry your phone around but you don't want it in your pocket, you can have this really goofy looking thing on your wrist while you walk around town.
Would you walk around town with it?
I might.
You wouldn't do it, would you?
I might, depending on how much I hate having things in my pockets.
Yeah, I would do it. Yeah. I wouldn't care.
Yeah, depending on where I was going. Yeah, I probably would too. And then they announced that in Fallout 4, you can build your own house. You can plant food in the water. You can set up generators.
Customization like crazy again.
Yeah, weapons. You can customize your weapons like crazy. Oh my god,
weapons are just insane.
Almost everything can be customized. The thing is, you want to set up defenses for the little towns you build, because your towns will get attacked by raiders.
And monsters.
Yeah, so you yourself are creating community in this Fallout world. Because you can set up one outpost, you can set up a different outpost, and you can have convoys going between your outposts, and you can set up little shops for people to come in and trade their goods and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. It's just a whole new layer that's just going to make Fallout that much of a longer game to play. I mean, that was Bethesda. That was their conference.
Bethesda was good.
They spent a lot of time on Fallout 4, so if you're really interested in that game, go check out their conference. You'll get, that was half their conference, practically.
I'm gonna go watch Doom gameplay again.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, in case you're listening to this podcast and you're wondering why we're skipping over Microsoft, this is part two of a two-part series where we go over the conferences. Part one is where we talk about Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo. Just wanted to point that out before we go too far in. So next up in the third-party conferences is EA. And they started out with a little tease of Mass Effect 4. They call it Andromeda. Mass Effect Andromeda. Coming out next year. Nothing really, just a tease. Yeah. A little bit of a video thing. That's about it. Then they jump into Need for Speed.
The realism in this game is amazing.
Yeah, it's a nice looking
Racer. It looks really good. Visually looks really good. I don't know what can be said about the gameplay of this game.
Yeah. It looks like they had that actual gameplay, it looks like. They had a race. I don't know.
It didn't seem anything different than the other ones, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I don't know. Judge for yourself, I guess.
But it looks like Need for Speed is coming back in a big way, if anything. Then they did Star Wars The Old Republic. This is their MMO Star Wars game. It's coming a new expansion called Knights of the Fallen Empire. It is a free expansion. Free
expansion, yeah.
Again, just a trailer. The trailer looked pretty cool, though.
I'm not into that game. I played it one time. I couldn't get into it.
I couldn't get into it too much either, but whatever. It's a cool-looking trailer, so if you just want to see a cool trailer, go check it out. And then the next game. I think the next game is one of the top games in the EA press conference. It's basically an indie-developed game, pretty much.
You want to talk about the guy first?
Yeah, so this one of the developers, Swedish development team?
Yeah.
He comes out, and he's getting introduced, and he's talking about his game, and he is like, this is the first conference he's ever done in his life.
At least in front of so many people. This guy, his hands were shaking like crazy.
Yeah, and he would kind of do awkward laughs every once in a while.
Yeah, he was forgetting to breathe at times. He would go on with the sentences and not take a breath between phrases and stuff. I'm sure he was sweating bullets too.
But it wasn't like awkward. It's just really endearing because he was so excited about his game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was
the excitement showed.
He was like cute, kind of like his game was, you know. And like, oh, look at that guy. And but man, his game. The game's called Unravel. It looks good.
It's a
puzzle platformer. Cute looking game. It's a puzzle platformer. You play as like a little yarn figure, and you solve all your puzzles by using your yarn to create platforms or swing or.
And it's a constant string of yarn behind you, like it's attached to your to the starting point of the game, and it keeps unraveling you, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it obviously does.
I mean, that's what it looks like, yeah.
So, I mean, towards the end, you kind of, you know, you get the idea that he's probably not going to have much substance to him. But I don't know exactly where they're going with that. For, you know, for.
I mean, they might not do that. They might just be an aesthetic.
And the game's called Unravel.
It is called Unravel. It looks really good, though. Especially, this is a 12-man team?
There's like an evil hamster in there somewhere.
I don't even know if that was an evil hamster. That was just adorable.
The thing was evil. It was trying to eat the guy.
The guy was in his burrow. He's defending his burrow.
That's just supposed to be, like, nice.
It was so adorable. It couldn't be evil.
Oh, man. This thing was an evil prairie dog.
Might have been a prairie dog, actually. But it was adorable, and the game looked awesome, and the fact that this is a 12-man team's making this game, and they started with, like, no money from EA.
Yeah.
And they're making this game, and it looks better than some of the things I've seen some of the
I want to thank EA for backing this game.
Yeah.
For sure.
This is amazing. I'm going to buy the game. It's a must buy for me.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Next up, Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2, coming out in spring 2016. It's going to have free content updates. You're going to be able to transfer your plants that you've... Most of your plants...
Yeah, that you create. I thought he said all of them.
No, he said... I think he did the most thing. Most of the plants that you unlocked in Garden Warfare over to Garden Warfare 2, so you don't have to spend the time doing that again.
Awesome feature.
And you can play, it's like, oh, we got a new mode. It's the base defense mode of Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare, except you play zombies now instead of plants. So, I mean, if you consider that a new mode, then yay. You can play every mode solo player. You'll have bots and stuff like that. I mean, it'll still be the same game, but you won't have to find an online game and listen to a little, like, 5-year-old scream at you and insult you. Because that's my experience.
Just mute them.
I know. I do usually. But it's just nice that you can just, like, put the game in and just play it. If your internet goes out, hey, at least you can still play your game.
That game was made for online, though. That was the purpose of the game.
I know, but it's just a nice feature. It's nice to not be trapped into it, you know?
Okay.
Next up,
you knew what this was.
Yeah, NHL 16 and NBA Live 16. They talked about it. It looks good.
I'm sorry for, you know, to everybody. I want to apologize to everybody, but I'm just not into sports games.
Yeah, me neither. So. They look good. It looks like the motion of people's bodies like looked very natural, and looked very good in that sense.
I think graphics wise, you know, they keep upgrading these games.
Yeah,
but as you know, as to the content, I mean, it's really is the same game to me. It doesn't, you know, like you get the new rosters, but it's still the same gameplay.
Yeah, NBA Live has a face scan feature, so you can make a character look like you. All the sports games basically have a tutorial mode, so new players can learn how to play better.
Didn't they do that last year, and there was some kind of issue with it?
Yeah, it didn't work. Yeah, no, I think that was WWE, one of the wrestling games that did it.
Are you sure? No, I remember it being the basketball one.
There might have been the basketball one. I know a wrestling game did it recently, too, though.
But, yeah. So, anyway. Maybe whatever issues they had is gone now.
After sports, Jeff got really excited. Because they started talking about their mobile games.
Minions Paradise!
Yeah, they mentioned something called Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. They didn't do much. Tell us what it was.
There's a lot of talk of mobile during these conferences, and it doesn't appeal to me at all. I don't care about...
And the Pip-Boy app.
But not really the Pip-Boy, yeah. The Pip-Boy is cool. But even like the Fallout Shelter and stuff, like I don't really care for mobile games. They just, I mean, they're there for when I'm bored.
Yeah.
Like when I'm out somewhere and I'm bored. Otherwise, I'm never on my phone.
Yeah.
Like I don't play games on my phone, except when I'm in the bathroom at work. But Yeah, everybody was talking about these, and then I just didn't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't see anything that piqued my interest in their mobile games. So, whatever. Next up, Mirror's Edge Catalyst. It's a prequel to the first Mirror's Edge. It's coming out February 23rd in 2016. Have you played the first one? No.
You know we got that for free.
Yeah, I know we got that. We got a lot of things for free. I got a lot of things I didn't get for free, but I got super cheap. I don't have time to play all these things.
I should play Mirror's Edge.
You should. On stream. Black Hole Flare.
Twitch.tv. Not in that order, though.
No. Mirror's Edge Catalyst, it did look good, though.
It does?
Yeah. I mean, Mirror's Edge, the first one looked good, too. Yeah, you were.
With,
You forgot already, didn't you?
Remember me.
Okay. Yeah, he's confusing it bad.
I swear these games look the same. I swear they have the same kind of look to them.
Except one's third person and one's first person.
Yeah, but I didn't think about that at the time. I just thought about how the game looked, like the buildings and the...
I'm pretty sure there's a lot less white in Remember Me.
No, there's not. There might be.
There might be, yeah.
Well, whatever.
At some point in this conference, they did FIFA Soccer, and Pele came out, and they had a little sit-down and talking with Pele. So that's cool if you're into soccer. And Pele is a living legend of soccer. Anyway, after Mirror's Edge, there was Madden 16, coming out August 25th.
Yeah, again, sports games.
Yeah, sports games, not my thing. Let me check it out. They add some new features, like a draft feature. And then they closed it off, of course, with Star Wars Battlefront. And this, a different...
Looks so good.
And point out, this is a different gameplay demo than what they showed at the Sony conference. This is a Battle of Hoth demo that they showed in the EA conference. And it's really good. It's also where you first see Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker.
You see somebody get choked out in the air.
Luke Skywalker.
Oh, God, that guy. Oh, my God, that guy. Anyway... yeah, Darth Vader, like, you see somebody getting choked out, and then it pans over, and you see Darth Vader walking in, and then Luke Skywalker jumps in.
Yeah.
And they start, brawling it out. But this whole thing is, like, it's a massive, like, PvP game.
Yeah, they show there's people, like, on foot, they show people in the ships, they show people in the walkers, the AT-ATs. Every vehicle that was on that battlefield, somebody was manning it.
Yeah.
According to this trailer, yeah.
TIE fighters and stuff, X-Wings. Dude, this game is massive, and there was like 60. What do you say, 64?
Yeah, 62? I think it was like 64.
Over 60 people playing.
Yeah.
This PvP mode.
And
you
it's
know,
still,
at the same time,
it still looked like the movies.
Yeah.
Even though it was like a completely different setting.
I mean,
like
there was no slowdown
fidelity,
at all.
The stormtroopers that were running through the snow, they looked like they were actual people, like stunt doubles or actors or something. Like, it's ridiculous.
I'm the last game that I played was a Star Wars, I forget what the name of the Star Wars was, but the one for the Nintendo 64. The one that was like super impossible to beat. But that was the last Star Wars game that I played, except for that the online one.
Oh, over the
Yeah, but I don't consider me playing that game because I didn't really play it.
Yeah.
But this game, I think, is the next Star Wars game that I'm going to play, dude. Because it looks fantastic. The explosions are just like the movies. You know, there's like it's more of a sparky explosion than than fiery. You know,
sparky like, and really like black smoky.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool. I'm down to play this game.
So I mean, that was the EA conference. Obviously, Unravel and Battlefront were probably the two awesome things for us. If you're into sports games, you probably had a good time with other sports games. I don't know. I'm not into them. So next up, Ubisoft.
Ubi.
And they started out with the bomb.
See, I thought it was a different game. I thought it was a direct sequel.
Yeah.
But apparently it was not. They tricked me. They did. I even wrote down Stick of Truth Part 2.
Yeah, Stick of Truth Part 2.
But it's not Stick of Truth Part 2. Even though they're dressed as the Stick of Truth people at the beginning.
Well, it is a direct sequel, actually. It takes place like right after.
Yeah,
Signature.
But it's like it's a whole different.
Yeah, it's a
you know what I'm saying.
It's a different genre that the game takes place in. But yes, we're talking about South Park, the Fractured But Whole.
Fractured But Whole.
Yeah.
So yeah, they start out with the Stick of Truth characters, And then they start talking to Butters, and he's dressed in his, what is it called? Captain...
Oh, I don't remember. His supervillain
character. Yeah, supervillain thing. And they're like, oh, I know, we're in the wrong game. We're in the wrong game. And then they go and change their clothes, and he turns into the Coon.
Yeah.
And
the Enigma.
Enigma, yeah. So they switch over to, like, the superhero stuff.
It's still an RPG from what we've been told. It's a direct sequel to South Park, The Stick of Truth.
And you know, it's...
You're still the new kid, but supposedly they're going to go into your backstory a lot more in this game. And they're constantly making fun of the previous game. Cartman's always like, it's like, the new kid's in the dream, it's in the dream level. God damn it, no, this game's supposed to be better!
Breaking that wall.
Yeah.
But I really want to play the first one. I still haven't played the first one.
Yeah, I haven't played the first one.
I haven't bought it yet, but I really want to play it. Again, so many games. So many games.
Not enough time. Alright, so after that, again, no gameplay, just a trailer, and they talk to Matt Stone and Trey Parker, which is cool.
But you can get the idea of what this game is going to be like.
Yeah, it's better and funnier. They're more comfortable that they know how to make a game now.
Even though they said they weren't going to make another video game.
They explained, yeah, you know, we said we were going to make, like, such a horrible time, but then, like, at the end of the first one, we knew how to make a game. So we felt kind of, like, bad, because we know how to make a game now, let's try it now that we actually know how to make a game.
That's not what he said.
It's a paraphrase.
He said, F it.
Yeah.
Those were his words. And so we decided, F it.
Yeah.
Not that. Didn't say F.
Just watch it if you want to hear him cuss.
Yeah. I tried not to.
After that, it was For Honor, a new IP from Ubisoft, and it looks good. It looks so good. It's Vikings versus Samurai versus Knights.
Now.
And again, live gameplay.
There's a part in the trailer that I really enjoyed. Is when the guy grabbed the sword.
The knight.
By the blade.
Yeah.
And just smacked the other guy with the end part of the blade. By the hilt.
Yeah.
That was so cool. I've never seen anybody do that in a video game. You don't just grab a sword by the blade. I mean, the guy had, like, armored gloves and stuff, yeah. So whatever, right? But it's just cool that I've never seen that before.
That was in the CG trailer, but they actually showed actual gameplay. They had some people come out on stage and play the game in front of us. And the game looks very... Jeff was picking out all the little, like, okay, they have different stances. He was really getting into his whole fighting game system of it. It's like there's a parry, there's a shove.
It seems like you have to block a... You can hit overhead, you can hit, you know, hit from the side, and it seems like you have to block the right move.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can block up, but you'll get hit, you know, from the side and stuff like that. So, I mean, the mechanics seem really cool. I like that. I like the... It makes the game a little more difficult, you know, more challenging.
I mean, you need some skill to be good.
Yeah. So, I really like the way this game was looking, the way the mechanics were working.
It looks like the game
and
is...
the way the game looks, in period, yeah, like, just, you know, visually.
Really good.
Yeah.
It appears the gameplay seems to be what they show was 4v4, and you have mobs on the field. Like, it's two armies clashing, and you're, like, the generals of those armies.
And you can kill the ads, but, your main focus is going to be the other players.
Yeah, that's how you win the match, is to kill the other players.
Remember that one point where there was 2v1?
Yeah.
Yeah, these two guys ganged up on this one guy, and then all of a sudden you see this other guy come in, and he just walks through, like, two of them, and just, like, starts fighting the other guy at the other side.
Yeah, so
that was really
cool.
You
can get outnumbered. But, I mean, at the same time, you gotta think, if, like, maybe you're fighting, like, 4v4, and, like, they wipe out your other guys, the combat seemed tight enough that you can conceivably still come back from that.
Yes, because before that other guy jumped in, the 2v1, the guy was actually defending against both guys.
Yeah, he was holding his own.
But I think those guys got a little practice in before the show.
Yeah. I mean, you know...
Nah, he was looking like he knew his stuff, dude.
They were both... They work for Ubisoft, so obviously they've played the game, at least.
Jerks.
ForHonorGame.com, if you want to get into the beta. I'm going to try to get into the beta for that one. Alright, and next up they show the crew. Just real quick, they're coming out with an expansion called Wild Run. Comes out on 17th of November. Jeff didn't care about it. I didn't really care about it. Moving on. They show a cat riding the unicorn, breathing fire.
Rainbow Fire.
Rainbow Fire. This is, of course, Charles Fusion's expansion, Awesome Level Max. Comes out July 14th.
I don't know what to think about that.
Yeah. No gameplay, just the little cat riding the unicorn. Yeah.
Breathing fire.
Next up, The Division. They show the Dark Zone, which is a PvE/PvP zone. It's insane. So you go in there, you get awesome gear. There's like mobs that you can fight in there, and then you can also run into other players that aren't part of your party, and you can decide to kill them and take their loot. They can decide to kill you and take your loot. You can help each other and just try to just leave the area peacefully. In the trailer, they help each other for a while, and when they're about to leave, the team you're following decides to betray the two random people they came across. They killed them to take their loot. And then, at the very end, one of the people in the team decides to leave the team and kills his two friends so he could take their loot, too.
The thing about this is they were talking to the guy. He was like, hey, we'll call him Jack.
Yeah.
He's like, they're like, hey, Jack, come on, we got to get out of here. And he wasn't moving. He wasn't doing anything. Like, he was just there, right? And they're like, Jack, come on, we got to go. We got to take the loot and go. And then that's when he starts, like, shooting these guys. Yeah, and he kills him.
You have to leave the party, it seems like. You can't be in the party, so you have to leave the party. So they kind of get a heads up that you're leaving the party, it seemed like. But if you do it fast enough, you can catch people off guard. Like, he saw opportunity, and he went for it.
I mean, if everybody gets separated where they're, you know, they're all looking for some kind of loot, and, you know, they probably won't notice that you're you know, switching sides, that you're going to destroy them. But it was a really cool feature.
Yep.
You know, betray your own teammates.
And the most important thing, though, they gave a release date for The Division. March 8th, 2016 is coming up.
It's a full year.
I mean, it's going to be great. The next year is going to come around. I'm going to want a game to play. I want that Division game. It'll be good. I like it. Next up, they show the trailer for Anno 2205. This is like a SimCity type game, but all futuristic. Yeah. Looks nice. I know people that will be into that game. You can go to the moon. Apparently, it's a big feature.
I mean, I don't know. This is not my type of game either.
Yeah. Next up, they show the Just Dance 2016.
Just Dance.
Coming out in October to the PS4, PC, and Xbox One. They had a music, little music show with this one person who's trying way hard to be Prince.
It was basically a concert.
Yeah. But it really dragged down the entire conference.
The Just Dance thing? Oh, yeah. The conference itself.
It was the low point of this entire conference. But Just Dance, if you're into that game, they're going to introduce a new streaming service called, I forget what it's called, but it's a subscription-based service, and you'll be able to play pretty much any songs that they come out with.
Yeah, I'm not paying a subscription to Just Dance.
Yeah. Next up, the other big bomb that Ubisoft has, the game that's been getting a lot of press, Rainbow Six Siege. The game looks good.
They showed a mission, they played a mission in the game, and apparently they've been failing the mission outside the conference, and they say this was the first time that they actually beat it.
Yeah, it's called Terror Hunt. It's a co-op only mode. You're going against computer bots in this mode.
So the cool thing about this that I saw is that you can, I mean, you smash down doors and stuff.
Yeah.
But you can also make holes in the wall.
Yeah.
And so you have like a little peephole of what the enemies are doing on the opposite side, and you know, so there's a lot of scouting being done here. You have a little robot scout too, that you you know, just to make sure you know where everybody's positioned, all the enemies are, and it's a very team-based strategy. Mm-hmm. You got to make sure you're communicating with the other characters because they're, you know, there might be like four or five different entryways to the room that you're trying to protect.
Plus all the ones you can make.
Yeah, you can, and they can make them too. Apparently,
yeah,
they can blow holes in walls as well and come in through those. So that, a lot of communication needs to, for this game, which is really really nice.
And they announced that the beta is coming to all platforms September 24th. I believe that is a pre-order beta. Actually, I have a beta.
Okay. How do you have a beta?
Humble Bundle has a special E3 bonus thing right now. You get a bunch of stuff. For like $6, you can get everything. And one of the things they have in there is a Rainbow Six Siege beta key. Guaranteed beta access.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta check.
Do you have to pay the price, the minimum, the price to get the extra stuff?
I don't remember what price point the Rainbow Six Siege is, but I mean, like, the maximum, like, thing is pay more than the average plus $2, and that'll get you everything. And the average when I did it was like $4. The
average is never that high anyway.
Yeah. So
I mean, Humble Bundle is always worth it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're always gonna get a good deal on it.
Especially right now, this is a crazy bundle. They got like they have games, and they'll give you a coupon to buy like the expansion of that game on Humble Store.
But I think that's a cool idea, though, that the whole like the price point plus $2.
Yeah.
Because that'll give people they'll give the average up and have people spend more money on this. You know what I mean?
That is smart. Yeah, yeah. You better get yourself that.
I ain't worried about another couple bucks average.
But you have to find out. I'm not sure if that beta access keys for all platforms or if it's just for PC.
If it's just for PC, I'm not gonna get it.
Yeah.
My PC doesn't run games.
No, it does not. After Rainbow Six Siege, they showed Trackmania Turbo. Coming to consoles, it's a super arcade racer. Super short races, it looks like. It looks disorienting, but fun at the same time.
It's very fast-paced. It is disorienting. I've seen tournaments of this game before. There's a Swedish guy that I know that he's a pretty good player. And he... I don't know, man. This is insane. You can't crash with other people.
They're all ghosts.
Yeah. So like you just have to be the first one to run through the track. And if you lose, at least the other track, man. If you crash or something like that, you can't get. You don't restart. That ends your run.
Yeah.
You know, but it's based on a point system, and then you just keep going. When it comes to the tournament part of the game.
They announced that there's going to be a couple new areas to race in for this updated version. Also, at the press of a button, the game will create a random track for you. So you have unlimited tracks. And also, at the very end, they mentioned when they're saying, come check the game out at our E3 booth, you can check out the game and the VR demo.
Yeah, the VR demo, right? They were playing this on a PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
So, does that mean that the VR demo is...
Morpheus?
Yeah. Is that what that means?
It's very possible.
They didn't mention Morpheus. They didn't say anything PS4.
Yeah, they said VR demo.
But they were playing it on a PS4.
Yep.
So, I am really curious as to what VR system they used to play this game.
Presumably, yeah, PS4.
Yeah, but see, you can't just go assuming things.
It's either the demo's on PC and you're using the Oculus Rift, or it's on console and they're doing Morpheus.
Dude, if it's on Morpheus, dude, I would have loved being there.
Yeah, I would have loved just being there anyway.
Yeah, we should go to E3 one of these days.
It's hard. Next up, AC Syndicate. This was the trailer involving the male brother. Sony had the female.
Oh yeah, they showed the other side. Yeah.
Again, no gameplay, just a cutscene.
Seems more of a brawler type.
Yeah.
Not so much he's not very assassin-y.
I mean, but I love the aesthetic of this one. You know, it's the whole thing. Yeah, the fact that it's not very assassin-y, I'm kind of enjoying that aspect of it. He's still an assassin. He does the hood thing. He has all his assassin gear.
Part of the creed, man.
But he's trying to force a revolution. It seems like. And he just has his gang of ruffians that he calls the Rooks.
What was that? What was that movie, dude?
Gangs of New York?
No. The British movie, Clockwork Orange.
Oh, Clockwork Orange.
It totally reminded me of Clockwork Orange.
A little bit, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I can see that.
But I mean, if this was the first game in the series, I think I would really want to pick it up.
Yeah.
If it was the first game in the series. But since I've already played the first one and didn't enjoy it, it kind of takes away from everything else. Yeah. So.
We'll have to see gameplay. We have to see if they change the mechanics of the gameplay enough to make you feel like it's a different.
See, at this point, I don't want to play this game until I play the other ones. If I see that this game is so good, you know what I mean? Like, I want to know the story.
They're a lot less connected than they used to be, though. Like, they're almost standalone games now.
I know the first and the two are very connected.
I think the first three are very connected.
The first three?
I think so.
Yeah.
And Black Flags.
We were talking about how they got rid of the...
Of the overlying plot that the first two had.
Yeah, the whole...
The future day stuff.
The whole virtual reality... Aspect. Like, capsules.
Yeah, that's
like what what happened with that?
They could they.
If anybody, dude, if you guys know what happened to that, like, just email or send a tweet or something.
UncoreGamers@gmail.com or at UncoreGamers.
I don't. From what I understand, they just got rid of it, just like that.
Yep.
Like it just it wasn't part of the story. It never happened.
Yep.
So I'm really curious.
And they closed off the conference with a world premiere. Nobody knew about this game. Ghost Recon Wildlands. It's an open-world Ghost Recon game. You have missions. You can approach the missions in, like, different ways. You can be stealthy. You can, like, just leave them to get beat up by rival gangs and stuff like that. If you take all their stuff and take, all, like, their cocaine and drugs. The game looked good.
It looked very Hitman-y.
Yeah.
You can choose the way your target dies. There's they show the same target and different ways for that target to die. At one point they just I think this one was my favorite. The one where they left him alive. They're like, just leave him. He's a dead man anyway. And then you see him
getting beat up
by, I guess, his boss.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. And he got beat up pretty good. Like he was.
It's a bloody game.
Yeah. He was on the table and kind of crucified on the table.
It looks like it's a multiplayer. I think it's definitely squad based, if not multiplayer.
Yeah.
And it's just.
And I thought it was really racist at first, but it goes all around the world.
Yeah, you thought it was just drug cartels.
I thought it was just, in Mexico.
Nope.
Yeah.
Apparently they go to Europe and America.
So it's not racist because they do all the other cultures.
Yeah. It's not racist because it's multiracial.
Yeah, right?
All right, and the last third-party conference at E3 was the ever-exciting Square Enix. Or Square Enix.
Square Enix. Exciting, you say?
Yep, they started out with an extensive demonstration of Just Cause 3, but it took them about 15 minutes to get to Just Cause 3, because Square Enix decided that
a lot of talking at first.
Entire conference needed to be like an actual conference. There was a podiums. They were podiums that people stood by and talked.
Yeah.
They didn't say
podiums.
They didn't have wireless mics. It felt like they were talking to their investors. It was really slow and really boring. And they would talk about how they're going to show something and then keep talking for like another 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then introduce somebody to talk for 10 more minutes.
Yeah.
And then show you like a 2 minute clip. So that was the
And then they told you that there was more information later.
Yeah. A lot of it, like Square Enix has been doing lately, has been more information later this year. More information later this year. So they started out Just Cause 3. A lot of just things exploding. I mean, the game has always been over the top, just do whatever the hell you want. And so if you're into the last one, you're probably going to love this one.
I've never played these games, but it seems like the whole world being, you know, destructible, it takes away from the graphics of the game.
Yeah.
Because they're just putting so much information on all the environment.
Yeah. I mean, the game doesn't look great. It's coming out December 1st. But if you're into that kind of random wanton violence and fun, then you know it has that. It has that in spades.
It doesn't seem like a game that's not fun.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I would get too. I feel like I would get too bored too quickly of just kind of just destroying everything.
Yeah.
The game does have 400 square miles worth of openness. So.
I mean, the plot line was ridiculous and. It's just a ridiculous, ridiculous
game. It's just about destruction.
Yeah. All right. After that is a Nier, a sequel or a new Nier game. I've never played just the first a teaser. One.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little teaser video. It's still early in development. You know, it's one of those. Come back later for more information. It's coming out on the PS4, which I believe the first one came out on the PS3 exclusively. I think.
So I think Adam 2 actually played Nier. I remember him talking about it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
But,
I remember it sounded cool, but I never played it. Yeah, I don't even know what happened to it. It, like, released, I didn't notice it released. Then they showed Tomb Raider, which they showed the same, basically the same.
The Hitman?
No. they show Tomb Raider.
I'm talking about the Go. Tomb Raider, Lara Croft Go?
No, but they also showed the actual Tomb Raider game.
Oh, yeah, but...
it was the same trailer they showed in Microsoft.
Yeah, that's why I didn't write it down, because it was the same thing.
Yeah, the same exact trailer they showed in Microsoft without any gameplay. Yeah, no gameplay, actually. Microsoft had gameplay. This one did not have gameplay.
It wasn't much gameplay, anyway.
Yeah, and then they showed mobile game, Lara Croft Go.
Just like Hitman Go.
Which I've never played, so I don't know what this game's about.
It's a mini...
Little Tomb adventure, Raider. Little Lara yeah. Croft adventure on your phone.
Kind of like a mini Hitman. It's just, again, with the Square went really phone app heavy.
Yeah,
during the conference.
They did.
And I did not enjoy that at all.
Yeah, and here's a nice little thing. After Lara Croft Go, they show a scissor reel. Ooh, scissor reel. Of games that have already come out. Every game in this scissor reel is already out and available for purchase.
Yeah, what's up with that?
So that annoyed me. And then right after that, they come right back into phones with Kingdom Hearts Unchained. And Jeff found out a horrible fact about Kingdom Hearts that he did not know about.
That the handheld Kingdom Hearts are canon.
Every single game that has come out with the Kingdom Hearts moniker is canon to the franchise. Including the original phone game that came out before smartphones were even a thing. Or, I mean, they were a thing, but they weren't big. So they still use, like, yeah. All of those Kingdom Hearts are canon. These are all things that Sora has gone through, or Riku. And they are referenced in the main games.
Yeah. I don't want to play those games.
And in fact... In fact, some of the characters, if you go watch these trailers back to back, some of the characters in Unchained, the mobile game, it looks like to me, are featured in the Kingdom Hearts teaser trailer as pivotal characters. Yeah. They have speaking parts.
Yeah.
And it looks just like the characters from the mobile game, so I think they are the characters from the mobile game.
And they mentioned that they were connected.
They mentioned that, yeah, the Unchained happens before Kingdom Hearts 3. So. It leads into Kingdom Hearts 3. And it does not look like a good game either.
No, it looked really crappy.
Like, it's just so weird.
It looked like a phone game.
Like, but I've seen better phone games than that.
Yeah, I play Soul. That's a better phone game than that.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's that. Maybe it'll be fun. I don't know. It did not look fun.
I'm not going to play these Kingdom Hearts. I mean, I'll play 3. Because I want 3 already, and yeah. I played through the first 2, and I need 3. But I'm not gonna go through the phone games.
Yeah.
And I mean the handhelds. I don't have handhelds, so the new handhelds anyway.
You can get if you were to get Kingdom Hearts Final Mix, I think the second one, it'll come with Unchained, or it'll come with like videos that'll catch you up on stuff that you might have missed on the handhelds and stuff like that. You can just watch
Either
it online.
Way, I'm not gonna. Yeah. So I'm not going to take the time to actually, like, buy or play these games.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot at this point. There was a lot of side games, like Dream Drop Distance, Chain of Memories, Birth by Sleep.
I remember Chain of Memories. That's the one that stands out, actually.
It was the Game Boy Advance one. Yeah. It's the first one. 358 by 2 Days. There's, like, 5 or 6 Kingdom Hearts games that weren't part of the main 3. And they're all canon? For crying out loud.
For crying out loud.
Like, that's too much.
Anyway.
And a lot of them use the same levels and the same worlds. It's, like, so repetitive. But they're all canon. Anyway, they show Kingdom Hearts 3. And they show an extensive amount of gameplay. And that game looks so good.
Some of the keys were really cool, the key swords.
Yeah, there was, like, ones that turned into guns and, like, cannons and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
And you can shoot, like, a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, the magic in it was really awesome.
Yeah,
I think the magic
was so,
in it was really
It was so
awesome.
Smooth. Everything was so smooth in the little trailer they showed. They showed that there's gonna be a world based off the Tangled movie. And I need Kingdom Hearts 3. I need it.
Yeah.
I need it in my life.
I need to go back and beat Sephiroth, because I feel I can do it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should do it on stream. Yeah. So I can hear your cursing and screams of anger. after Kingdom Hearts 3, they showed the exact same trailer they showed at the Sony conference of World of Final Fantasy.
So, during... When we were talking about the one at Sony, I said this game looks like it's geared towards a child.
Yeah.
And they kind of confirmed that during this conference, because they were talking about how you can play with your 5-year-old.
Yeah.
And because it's so chibi.
Yep.
And I was like, I knew it. This game is geared for kids, like little kids, little children's. And I don't want to find a fantasy to do this in my games.
And I've already seen this trailer at Sony's conference.
Yeah.
After that, after such a nice family-friendly game, they go into Hitman Contracts. Again, no actual gameplay.
No, it's just video.
Yeah, just video.
I feel like the game's still early in development, though, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did mention, though, that you can make... You can mark your own targets and have other people on the internet try to kill your targets. So
I feel like they've done this before, though.
I'm not sure, but I mean, it's a cool feature. It sounds pretty cool. Like, I assume you kind of create your own levels by doing that. I didn't go too much into detail. Oh boy, the next game. This is The two top games.
So hungry right now, Dan.
What are you hungry for?
Hungry for. Some ocean water?
Some ocean? That's a horrible thing to be hungry for. Star Ocean!
No, I didn't know how to work this in there.
Yeah. Star Ocean came out. It's
brand new
Star Ocean. Came out at the conference. You can get it now. No, it's coming in 2016 to the PS4. It's Star Ocean. There's nothing more needs to be said.
Integrity and Faithlessness.
Yep, that's the title that's what of it's Star called. Ocean. And they had a nice little trailer leading into it where they showed, like, what happened in all the games.
The connection between, between the different games.
Because they all happen in the same timeline. They're just, like, years, like, millennia apart. But they all happen in the same timeline. And like, it's really cool. And it was a nice lead-in. They didn't show too much gameplay. A little bit of you walking around. And it'll
they showed some fights.
Yeah, they showed a couple combat. And it's a Star Ocean game. It's the 3D art style.
Action-based, yeah.
It looks good, and I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I mean, this means I have to replay my Star Ocean games.
All of them, all four of them.
I don't have all four of them.
Oh, you should get all four.
I got two of them. You really should get all the other ones.
You should get a Vita TV so you can get that first one. I mean, what was it, PlayStation TV they call
it? I can play the PlayStation 1 games and stream them, and PlayStation 2 games and stream them. And I can get
the first one, Super Nintendo one.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I can't stream those.
See, but if you have the Vita TV,
I'm not gonna buy the
Vita. You can get the PSP version.
One game,
but it won't be for one game. It'll be for thousands of games you already own.
No, but I'll be playing PS4 games instead. I know me.
But you already own so many games for the Vita TV.
I know me.
I'm saying you're missing.
I would need a Vita because otherwise I wouldn't play those games.
All right, then we'll wait till your next paycheck and get you a Vita.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, the wife will be real happy about that. Oh, yeah, by the way, I just spent like a couple $100. On what? Vita? Really? Okay. Looks like I'm getting my hair done every month now.
Yeah, I spent too much.
No, we don't have enough money for that, babe. Oh, but you have enough money for your Vita, don't you? Yeah, that's how that conversation is going to go.
It's going to be, no, we don't have enough money for that because I got to pre-order Doom.
Dude,
so many games to buy. Oh my god, this E3 conference is ridiculous.
Why do you have to be rich to be a gamer now?
Yeah, seriously. So after Star Ocean, they show some Deus Ex, Mankind Divided. It's the next Deus Ex game.
I have the game. I have the first one. I think it's the first one.
The old school one.
I don't know.
There's been three.
No, PlayStation 3 one.
That's the third one.
That's the third one?
It's a prequel, I think, to the rest of them, but it's the third one,
yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I have that one, but I haven't played it.
Yeah. This one's a sequel to the one that came out on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. It's coming out in 2016. Again, no gameplay, just a trailer. But presumably, if you like the last one, you'll like this one. Next day, went back to phones. and talk about the Final Fantasy Portal app. And not much was said
about
it.
Yeah, they didn't say anything, really.
It's like, use this app to find out everything you want to know about Final Fantasy. And that was it.
Yep. There really was.
Yep. And then they announced that they have a new development team called the Tokyo RPG Factory. And they're dedicated to RPGs because Square Enix knows people love their RPGs. So they're going to be making...
It's Square Enix. That's what they do. They do RPGs.
Their first game, they already have a game they're working on called Project Setsuna. No gameplay, no CG, just a bunch of concept art. But the concept art looked really nice.
Yeah, the style of the art really stood out for Dan.
Mm-hmm.
He enjoyed the art. It was cartoony. Cartoon type art, but not cartoony. How would you explain that art?
It was vibrant. It was very vibrant.
Yeah. Yeah, cartoony seems like the wrong word now. Yeah, vibrant is a better word.
Yeah, like, you know, the colors are very poppy, and it was like...
Just the style of it was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just... It looked really nice from what the concept art is, so if they made the game look like that, it's going to be a very pretty RPG. It's supposed to come out in 2016. And that was... those were the conferences.
Final Fantasy VII. Final Fantasy VII.
They showed the same trailer. So
I was really hoping for more, but yeah.
Everybody was hoping for more, but it didn't happen. And
straight from the horse's mouth, but no.
Yep. So those were the conferences. Out of Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo, who would you say won?
It's gonna sound super biased.
Go ahead.
And it might be.
A Nintendo? You think Nintendo won?
Nintendo
really?
Won? No. Nintendo lost in a big way.
Yeah.
Big, gigantic way. Nintendo was just the lamest they've ever been in a long time.
Yeah, Jeff was very angry.
I was angry at Nintendo, for sure. I mean, I'm a fan of Nintendo, and I think PS4 definitely took this.
I know people, I've known some people that argue that Microsoft won. I think a lot of people, I actually spent some time looking at people's reviews on the conferences and other people's opinions, journalists' opinions, people's personal opinions, and it seems that everybody pretty much agreed that Sony won E3 overall. I mean, we're just focusing on the three main ones because those are who they're really competing with. I think Microsoft showed a lot of cool stuff, but again, I think they failed to show people stuff that necessarily focused on games. They showed, like, the HoloLens. They talked about the backwards compatibility. They talked about the trial thing. And that's all cool stuff, but...
The controller.
The Elite Pro controller. But people... You know, despite it being cool stuff, and it's awesome that they're doing that, people, when they come to E3, they want to see games. That's what gets their attention, is the games. So you can show all the cool stuff that your system can do, but unless you're sharing them awesome games, people just kind of forget that you even had cool stuff. Microsoft showed some good stuff. I mean, Microsoft did a lot better of a job than Nintendo did. But also at the same time, it's kind of, who are they speaking to? Like, the backwards compatibility, it's awesome if it would have come out when the system came out. Now that it's been like a year or two, a lot of people aren't playing their 360s anymore because there's so many games to play for the Xbox One, you know? So it's less of an impact now. I know people want it. It's cool that they did it. It's great. It's always good to have backwards compatibility. The trial things was great. Again, you know, it's who you're speaking to. The HoloLens, they need to show more. Apparently some of the stuff they showed at the actual E3 floor was cooler than what they showed at the conference. There's a lot of speculation that the price point of that's going to be $400.
They did spend a fair amount of time on the HoloLens.
Yeah. I mean, it looks cool. I want a HoloLens to work, because I want that technology, because that's awesome.
It is.
But, I mean, their game lineup, I think why people gravitated towards Sony, and the main reason I think Sony won the conference for a lot of people is that Sony...
Final Fantasy VII.
And that's to the point. That's to the point. Sony had like three or four games that people have been wanting to have happen at their conference. They had The Last Guardian. People have been waiting for that game for 10 years.
forever.
They had Final Fantasy VII, even longer.
Shenmue.
Shenmue 3.
Or Shenmue.
Yeah, Shenmue 3. Even though it's not, they're not making the game. They just talked about the Kickstarter, but they had it at their conference.
Yeah, the Kickstarter. It's gonna be made now.
Yeah,
it's, I mean, just it's because already it was there in the Sony conference, yeah. It's gonna be made now.
It got funded in the first day. So they had that, like, the mindset. They had the Call of Duty thing, which was kind of like, you know, surprising to people.
Uncharted 4.
Uncharted 4, a pretty big game. So, like, they had a bunch of games people had been dying to have at their conference.
Street Fighter 5,
yeah. And they showed them all. And, like, yeah, they talked about Morpheus for, like, a split second. They talked about PlayStation Vue for, like, a split second. They didn't even talk about the Vita. It was just mostly...
Which is sad.
It was sad. Really sad. I cried. But it was all games, and gameplay of those games. Almost every game.
Yeah, they definitely. I think they definitely had a lot more gameplay than the Xbox did. The Xbox had the, you know, obviously they were gonna have a Halo 5 gameplay video.
Yeah.
Because I mean that's their seller. That's the main seller. They had a Record, which was all video. They talked about the controller. Forza 6.
I think that was all video,
just,
I think.
Just nothing. I mean, it's another.
I don't even know what they added to Forza 6.
Dark Souls 3 was
all video.
Another video. The Division. I don't remember. It was did they show gameplay on Xbox?
I think a little bit. I don't remember though. No, I think it was like the intro trailer.
Yeah. Gigantic. I don't know if that was any gameplay in that.
It looked like it was emulating gameplay.
Yeah, it wasn't real gameplay.
It might have been. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah, like Tacoma, Ashen, Cuphead, and those ones didn't show too much.
Yeah, I mean, Cuphead was real gameplay, but it wasn't somebody actually playing it.
No, it was just kind of cuts.
It was like a sizzle reel, yeah.
Ion, did they show?
No, Ion was just...
The Rise of the Tomb Raider wasn't really gameplay.
It was at the beginning.
It was very jumping
from ledge
to
ledge.
Yeah, but that's not. I mean, that's not what I want to see when it comes to, you know, gameplay for a game. The Rare Replay was just, you know, they just basically showed a bunch of old games, and it wasn't. I mean, I'm fine with them not showing gameplay for, you know, a Rare Replay.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody knows the games, so it doesn't really matter. Sea of Thieves wasn't too gameplay-y.
Mm-hmm.
You walk from one place to another and then that's it. So what else was it? Then there was a HoloLens and, you know, Gears of War 4.
But that was gameplay.
That was definitely gameplay. I mean, those were Halo 5 and Gears of War 4 were the major players during their conference. But so you can see that there wasn't too much gameplay for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As opposed to, you know, like the PlayStation.
Last Guardian. Gameplay.
Yeah.
Horizon.
The Horizon.
Gameplay.
That one was so cool.
Yeah.
The little mech dino ones. Street Fighter V was gameplay.
No.
Yeah. Emulated.
Emulated,
I just like Street Fighter V, and I want to know.
It was sizzle reel, yeah.
Yeah. No Man's Sky.
Gameplay.
Was gameplay.
Yep.
Dreams, they showed a kind of creation, but it was really fast, so it wasn't actual...
It was a gameplay. I don't think he was actually doing it. I think it was just a sizzle reel.
Firewatch was gameplay.
Nobody was playing it. I think that was...
You think it was just a video?
It was a sizzle reel. It might have been what gameplay looks like, but it was nobody was playing it on stage. That was just...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Destiny, there wasn't any gameplay for Destiny. Assassin's Creed Syndicate, no. World of Final Fantasy, then Final Fantasy VII. Ronin?
Nope.
EITR.
No, that was their developer. No,
the Russia Blees. It was Scissor Wheels of...
All those games.
All those games. Shenmue, no. Arkham Knight. No. Scarecrow Nightmare. There was a...
It was
minimal gameplay.
Yeah, very minimal.
Morpheus didn't touch much on that. Black Ops 3. There was
gameplay. That was gameplay. There was gameplay in that.
And Battlefront.
And there was gameplay in that.
And Uncharted 4.
And that was gameplay. Six games with gameplay.
Yeah. So, that's what people want. People want to know how the game plays.
Yeah.
People don't want to watch it. I mean, the videos are nice and all, but people want to know.
People want to know what the game looks actually going to look like. When you're playing it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's one of the reasons that I think PS4 also beat out Xbox, besides, you know, the actual, you know, name dropping of games.
Yeah.
So.
But the name drops was a very big,
yeah,
big
part of that. Yeah, they were big names, yeah. I mean, Street Fighter V is an exclusive now, which is major, major, major in the fighting game community.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VII, come on, everybody loves Final
Coming
Fantasy
VII. Coming first to PS4. The thing is, a lot of the games they showed weren't exclusives to Sony.
I like how you just dropped that in there.
Weren't exclusives to Sony, but they made it seem like they were.
The yeah. Scarecrow Nightmare Missions.
That is that
first
exclusive.
On.
No, that is exclusive to PlayStation.
Okay. Yeah, see, and then that's kind of cool. I like the intro to that. It was really awesome.
Yeah.
I was wondering the whole time when he was shooting the monsters. I was wondering, dude, he's probably shooting the people in the restaurant right now.
Yeah. No, I'm sure that's exactly what he was doing. Yeah.
They didn't cut to it, but it was awesome.
And then so
let me tell you why Nintendo didn't win. Because Nintendo put out some very crappy games.
Some hot garbage.
Definitely hot garbage. Yeah. That's PS4, man.
Yeah, Nintendo had maybe two games that I was interested in. Fire Emblem, Fates, and Shin Megami Tensei Cross Fire Emblem.
Yeah, I've never played the Shin Megami Tensei games.
Yeah, I don't remember Runbow, but that wasn't part of their conference.
But still, that Rumbo looks really fun.
Yeah, it does.
Especially if you get 8 people going.
Yeah. And everything else is just like little teases. Like, here's a new Zelda game, but it's not the Zelda I want. Here's a new Metroid game. Is that really a Metroid game?
Nope. Not a Metroid game.
Here's Star Fox 64. It looks like Star Fox on the GameCube.
Don't get me started. Oh my god, don't get me started with that game.
And Yoshi's Woolly World, it looks adorable.
That one's cool. I really like that one. That one I want to play with my family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's Yoshi. It's a Woolly Yoshi, dude. I want a Woolly Yoshi. I want one so bad. A little plush one, dude.
Alright. Who do you think won E3 overall?
E3 overall. Oh, man.
Go ahead and rank them for me. Best to worst.
Are we talking about, like, the mains also?
Yeah,
the mains included with everything? Everything, everything, everything?
Third parties, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, dude. Well, I can tell you Nintendo is dead last. For sure.
Are you going to go bottom up?
That one's just a for sure.
Okay.
Okay, that's definitely
really,
last.
Worse than Square Enix?
I think Square Enix had a little more to offer, yes.
Okay.
They had Kingdom Hearts 3, the Hitman game,
but Super Mario Maker.
I know, but they had Star Ocean, Kingdom Hearts 3 though, and Star Ocean, dude, those are just fantastic. But I would say, man, that's so hard. It's so hard, dude. I don't know. Let's just see who won. Then we'll eliminate. So I know the number, the last one. I would have to say the PS4 won overall.
Okay.
Honestly.
They're at the top.
Yeah. Top and bottom. I got my top and bottom. The PS4 versus Nintendo. I think next one that won for me.
Yeah.
Would be Bethesda, number 2. I put them at number 2. They had a lot of stuff that I wanted. A lot of stuff that I think they show a lot of gameplay for something that people have wanted for a long time, and extensive gameplay.
Yeah,
that
is true. They have a lot.
I think number 3, I would put Xbox. That's number 3.
Interesting. Yeah.
After that, I would say. Oh man, dude. Number 4, I would put Square. I think I'm going to go with Square.
Number 4, really?
Yeah, I'm going to put them at number 4.
Above Ubisoft?
Yeah, I'm going to put them above Ubisoft, and Ubisoft would be my number 5.
So you put an EA next to Nintendo.
That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing.
All right.
EA above Nintendo, yeah. All
right, I'll break down my how I felt it went. I think Sony won. Just by name drops alone. Just giving people what they want. I would put Ubisoft after Sony. For Honor, Rainbow Six Siege, The Division, I mean, all those games I'm really interested in, and like I want to play them. I would probably put
so hard, isn't it? It's difficult, dude.
Yeah, I'm a little torn right now. I think I would probably put Bethesda after Ubisoft. Personally, I'm really only interested in Fallout 4 out of the games they showed, and the Fallout Shelter app, and everything Fallout that they showed, basically. Is
what, you want the toy.
I want the toy. That's pretty much everything that I was personally interested in. Dishonored looked good, Doom looked good, but I wasn't... I was like, whatever about
those. You're not a Doom fan, huh?
Yeah, I'm not so much of a Doom fan. I like the original. That was really fun, but after that, I kind of got over it.
But, the 64 one was good.
Fallout 4 looked really good. I was pleasantly surprised by Fallout Shelter. I definitely want to play that when it comes out on Android. So I'll put them up there under Ubisoft at this point, right? Then I'm going to go with Microsoft. It's really close. I mean, those under Sony, like the Ubisoft, Microsoft, Bethesda, are all pretty close to each other. Nice little clump right there. After that, I would probably put... Yeah, Square Enix, Star Ocean, and Kingdom Hearts 3 gets them that spot, number 6, number, whatever number it is, under Microsoft, for sure. only because Kingdom Hearts 3 and Star Ocean.
And Star Ocean, yeah.
That's the only reason they even get that far up on the list. And then EA, because all I really care about in EA was
Battlefront
and Unravel.
Yeah.
Those are adorable. But I already saw Battlefront and Sony. Although it's different, it was different. It was.
They actually had gameplay, like real gameplay.
Yeah, they both did. Just different real gameplay, and Unravel's just so adorable. And yeah, Nintendo's just dead last.
Yeah. It wasn't even a conference. Yeah. They shouldn't even be included on the list.
I mean, they need to step up their game if they're even their directs. Their E3 directs have to be as flashy as the conference.
They have to be there, dude.
They're not going to do that.
It's not the same when you're not actually there, though.
They don't care anymore. They don't care about you, Americans. They proved it.
No, they just don't have a lot to offer. And they're not going to waste their time if they don't have a lot to offer. I mean, most of the time was like puppets.
Yeah, all of it was puppets. and developer commentary, which is cool, but... I didn't care. I wanted to see the games. I wanted the games.
Their main thing was the Star Fox game. And to me, it was a flop.
Yeah.
It's a flop already. It's a no-seller.
You want a little pterodactyl bird R-Wing?
I don't want the pterodactyl bird R-Wing, no. They have tanks. Why do they need a walking R-Wing?
They have a tank in this game.
There's tanks in Star Fox now. They don't need a walking R-Wing.
Yeah.
They don't need a Rob to go into Little Tunk. Get out of the plane. You're already hovering above the ground. No, you can just land the plane.
It's a super slow gyrocopter. Why do you need one if you have an R-Wing? It just didn't make any sense.
They screwed up so bad. I wish they would have had me on the development team, dude. I would have shown them what's what.
Make it faster. But you can't control it faster.
Yes, you can. There's plenty of them out there already. Make it faster. I don't want... You're still gearing Star Fox for, like, little children? No, dude. Your hardcore gamers are adults now. The people that play Star Fox, me, we're adults now. We want a better Star Fox. Not the same crap again.
All right. One last question I got for you. You can only afford 3 games shown at
E3. No, don't do that. 3 games is not a lot.
3 games.
Doom, for sure. Doom, for sure. I've been wanting a new Doom for a long, 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 long time.
Yep.
Oh, damn it. Dude, 3 games. Do I really have to do this?
Yeah. You have to do it. Because the people at home like to hear you struggle.
Damn it, dude. Doom. I want to say Final Fantasy VII. Oh, my God. But there's other ones. I'm not going to say Street Fighter V. I'm not going to say Street Fighter V because I can go without Street Fighter V for a while. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those games that, yeah. Like, you always, I mean, you'll always spend time watching the game, watching people play it to learn even more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have other people do the homework for you.
Okay.
So I can do without that. I can do without that. But, oh, Jesus, man.
Kingdom Hearts.
I know, and then the
Star Ocean. The Division.
There's Unravel.
For Honor. Fallout 4. No. Runbow.
No.
Yoshi's Woolly World.
That's something I can do without for a while as well. Man, that Battlefront, though.
Yeah, that Battlefront.
Dude,
Horizon?
Oh, jeez. I'm gonna make Kingdom Hearts 3. Another one.
Doom? Kingdom Hearts 3, got one left.
Man, what's better than this? What's better than this? It's gotta be something better than this.
You know what?
Do you have yours in mind already?
I'm building it while I'm watching.
Yeah, I know. That's why you wanted me to go first, so you can have more time to think about this.
I always want you to go first, so I have time to think about things. I'm the one asking the questions.
I'm going Final Fantasy VII.
Really?
Yeah. Screw it.
Wow.
This is a game that I've played so many times over, dude, because I just love the game, dude. This is a game I truly love. I truly love Final Fantasy VII. So, I mean, having such an upgraded version of it, I think would be completely awesome. And I would hate myself for not buying this day one. So, yeah, I'm going with Final Fantasy VII. And Doom, just because I've anticipated Doom. So long, dude. Doom 3! How long ago was that?
It's
been like at least 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Come on, man. So, yeah, those are my choices.
All right.
Kingdom Hearts 3 is the same kind of deal, though. That it's been way too long.
It has been real. Yeah. An actual sequel.
Yeah. So
not the stupid part of the canon. Well,
so the first, I mean, Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy, not Final Fantasy, Doom, just because I've been wanting one for such a long time that I need to have another one.
Yeah.
And Final Fantasy VII is because just for the love of the damn game. So those are my three choices.
All right.
And the reasons why.
I'm definitely going Fallout 4. Fallout games are just fun. It's the only open world game I really enjoy playing are the Fallout games. So definitely Fallout 4. Yeah, I'm going to have to go Kingdom Hearts 3. I mean, it just looks so good, and I know I'm going to love it. Which leaves me with my last one. And that's where it gets hard. I'm not going to say the Final Fantasy VII Remake, because it is a game I have already played.
Who cares? I don't care. I don't care about that.
But, I mean, like, I can't, like... I've already played it. I know the story. I know how it's going to go. So, I mean, when I can get a new experience, I'll take the new experience. So I think my last one.
Street Fighter V.
So you can watch me play it.
I would love to watch you play that online, dude.
Wouldn't it be fun?
It'd be fun for me.
My last one, I think.
No Man's Sky, huh?
I think it would be Uncharted 4.
You're an avid fan of the Uncharted series.
If they're fun to play, yeah. They're humorous, it's good.
The humor in these games is really
cool. It's very cinematic, you know. Yeah. Gail will watch me play those games, so she enjoys watching me play them. She actually says I act a lot like Nathan, like the main character Nathan Drake.
You play out the part?
No, I don't play it out, but she says like my personality is a lot like his. And it's actually pretty funny. She'll say things like that, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'll say something like in the game, I'm like, "Oh, come on," or something like that. And then Nathan Drake will say exactly what I said, like a little bit later on, and I'll be like, "That doesn't mean anything."
he's kind of embedded his personality into you because you love the game so much. You just kind of turned into.
But I guess the comments he makes are comments that I make. In everyday life, or the way he says things.
Yeah, it wasn't like that until you started playing the game, though. kind of funny.
No, she said that in, like, the first game. In the very first game, really? She said that, yeah.
I figured it would be something that just you kind of just started doing because of the game.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's good. It's very interesting choices. I like how we each got, besides Kingdom Hearts 3, we each had very different choices for the games that we would pick out of that. It just shows how many good games were shown at this E3. It's ridiculous. I'm broke. I'm broke for the next 2 years. Thank you very much, video games. You make my life difficult, but so fun.
But so fun, yeah.
You know, write us in UncoreGamers@gmail.com. Let us know your top three games that you would pick and who you think won the conference. Follow us on Twitter to know when our new episodes come out, and I try to ask some questions. So if we get responses, we'll be in the show. You know, I'll read your responses in the show. That's what I'm doing with those questions. If you want to catch some Black Hole Flare,
twitch.tv/blackholeflare.
Watch him play.
It's been a busy week this week, and I feel like I have had a busy time, so the streams have cut down a little bit, but you know they'll pick up sooner or later.
Yeah, they'll pick up soon. Watch him struggle with Sephiroth and Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts 1 or 2?
The first one.
Kingdom Hearts 1.
I didn't beat him the first one.
All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for going through this journey with us. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed it.
I hope you took your breaks. All right, later, guys.
Bye.